Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Christina, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the 2018 Bridge Walk campaign. Welcome, Christina.
Hi, Jen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So you are, of course, please welcome to talk about whatever you're seeing as you are endeavoring in the Bridge Walk campaign. And in particular, I thought it would be fun just because I've heard you speak to it before, and I find it inspiring and very helpful to kind of talk about, you know, you're someone who has a big life, full life, like many folks do, plenty going on, and that you participate in a lot of different ways, give back in a lot of different ways, all of those things, and that, you know, donating to the campaign and going on with your life would be one completely viable option. And it's not the option that you're choosing. And I just think in particular, it might be interesting to hear you speak about that among other things that you're seeing.
Yeah, so that's what I've always done. And I've just, you know, written a check at the time that to donate. And this is probably the third or fourth year that you all have done something so exciting and fun. And I'm really excited in the beginning, and I want to join. I want to fundraise. And then I have always been talked out of it. And what I found so brilliant about this year's campaign, and this is so interesting because this year, by far, I'm busier than I've been in a really long time. And,
I thought I was busy before.
Right. And maybe it is just perception. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that my life is a lot fuller and busier. And you made it so easy. You know, there was that impulse that, like, you know, it just right. I was present when I was reading the stories, and I thought, I want to do this. And you know, I don't really use social media that much, and there was a lot of hesitation to posting it, and then, you know, trying to find out how to track it and repost it, or, you know, all of those things, that there was hesitation, but it was just like you so gently led us down the road of, okay, here's how you start a team, or here's how you start your own fundraiser. Click this button. And I did it because my heart wanted
okay,
to do it.
I can do that.
Right. And so every step of the way, I got to be wholly present to the enthusiasm and the deeply held love that I have for this project. And so I just did it. And I appreciate you making it easy for us. And
well, that's lovely of you to say, and I am very glad to hear that. And one of the things I realized for myself in this process is that I'm not someone who's on a lot of social media, and so it wasn't completely intuitive for me, and I think other folks are finding that too, that when they get there, it wasn't completely straightforward. And so we've done things like, it was Bob, actually, brilliant, put together just a very simple, okay, screenshot with, okay, hit this button, okay, now, great, done that, now hit this button, okay, now, you know, enter it here. And I can do that, you know, I can follow the instructions like that. So I'm right with you that I think that the care that's been put into laying it out to make it easy for us is just a piece of the love for all of it. And I love that piece, too, of what you were saying of, that essentially you turned your attention away from what could have been a conversation. Gosh, I have way too much to do, and, you know, I don't really, but just that willingness to sort of, I project, well, let me see. Let me just start down the road and let me see what happens.
Yep. And also I knew that even if nobody contributed, that I had a set number in mind, and at the end I can write a check, and I can do it through that platform. And then everyone can also see, and then they might be reminded, oh, okay, this is a good time to, you know, to donate to that thing that Christina set up and sent out a month ago.
What a great point. You know what else, Christina, that dropped in for me? I'd forgotten about it until you just said that. And I asked someone who's on my list, someone who's not in Sangha, but someone I care a lot about, And I asked her, what do you think about this, that to email all of my folks who I'm sending it to and say, hey, I know you're probably all as busy as I am, and it's going to get easy for this to get buried in your emails and that sort of thing. So would it be okay with you if I include you on a reminder email that I send out, you know, every few weeks during the campaign? And so to get people's permission to just keep prompting them, because for me, I want to remember that, you know, and I know I'm gonna get busy and go on to other things. So I love that piece of that people will see that and be reminded that they might want to jump in and participate.
Yep, because I have to say that practicing with going beyond fear, resistance, and limitations, you know, being in that retreat has really taught me not to project on other people what they think or that they're annoyed or that they don't want to contribute, because my experience over and over has been that people generally want to support me, people that I love, people that love me.
Yeah.
And I just don't often have the opportunity to ask for support or to ask them to participate. It's really not even support. It's participating in something beautiful and that gives them an opportunity, especially in the world as dark as it seems these days, to have, you know, this shining light to look to and to, you know, put your attention on, even if it's just for, you know, a half hour while you're reading through the website. I get to invite people to do that. And yeah, it's so great to be here talking about it because, you know, this is outing conditioning a little bit, is I am really busy and I get talked out of staying on top of the things I care about. And this is one of them. And So glad to see.
Oh, I'm so glad too, because there's like 7 or 8 things what you just said that just sparked things for me. But one, I'll just piggyback on that. So we did have the first support call on Saturday, and we will get that recording up. But we're going to have further support calls. And one of the things that I was so struck by for myself on the call was, you know, there's all kinds of things I've got my attention on in addition to this amazing project. And having everyone come together on that call was helpful for me to have their enthusiasm re-spark my enthusiasm, which re-sparked, right? It's just, we can keep instead of passing around the negativity that you were referring to that's so prevalent right now, we can pass around this inspiration and this love, and that's what we can share together.
Yes, yes. And I love how Sherry frames it as, this is an invitation to participate. This is not a you must or you should, or if you're the good, right person, you will, you know, or your friend or loved one pressuring you to, you know, part with your hard-earned money. This is an opportunity to take some time. I know I didn't mean to sound so facetious. Because
no, exactly.
True.
Yeah.
You know, take this opportunity to open up to something bigger than all those little things that we so often are focused on.
Yeah. And, you know, the other neat thing about it, there was another person in Saga who was sharing some of her experiences around it. And one of the things that she's gotten to find out through it is what all the people she loves are contributing to and involved with. And so
yes.
It just opens things up that way, right? And that place
yes.
where, you know, I've heard Sherry talk before about, you know, if you want to spend more time with someone you care about, do a project with them. And I thought of that when you were saying that. Like, we don't often, you know, there's people all over the place that are important to me and that I care about, but we rarely sort of cross paths because we have no, quote, reason to do it, and everyone's really busy. But then up comes something like this, and it is a reason to, you know, even just for a short time to get to participate and open our hearts together on something. So it really is a gift in that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, gosh, here we are at the top of the hour, but anything else you wanted to add in, Christina, before we end?
No, I think we covered it.
Yeah. It's fun. And as we mentioned on the support call on Saturday, we'll be traveling there. And actually, it's one of those where I was merrily going along, I think I'll be there, let's see, in about 4 weeks. And then I thought, oh, actually, I'm leaving closer to 3 weeks from now. so soon. We'll be there soon. And blogging and, you know, inviting people to the live event that we're going to have there, inviting people in via technology. And so lots and lots of fun things there. So thank you for being with us this afternoon. I know, isn't it exciting?
Yes, you get to live your you.
So thanks for being with us, Christina, and thanks for being here to share your experience.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Take good care. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
And this is normally where I would turn the show over to Michael and Sherry. Michael is not able to be with us this afternoon, so I have the great good fortune of getting to host. And so I will instead simply say, welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber, and good afternoon, Sherry.
Well, good afternoon, Jen. I was wondering how you were going to make that little transition. That was very, very well done.
Oh, thank you. Along with pushing the buttons and wait, where is Christina in the queue anyway? And
You cut out there for just a minute for me, but I think I was asking.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Are you gone?
Yeah. I think I was gone, but I'm back now. Can you hear me okay now?
I know that feeling. I'm gone. Now I'm back. Now I'm gone. Now I'm back. It's so like meditation, isn't it?
It's what we're practicing, really. Yeah.
It's why we're practicing, exactly. Before we leave that conversation with Christina, you mentioned something that Bob, the genius behind all of what we're able to do, had put together a push this, go there. Where do we find that?
So that's a fabulous question. I'm just trying to think. Exactly. I'm sure Ashwini is texting as we're talking, but
I thought if we bumble around here long enough,
right? Exactly. Well, you know what you do is, Ashwini, hurry. it's coming out in an email. What I was mostly hesitating on is I don't think the email has come out yet, but it's coming out where there's going to be a link to it. It's going to be featuring one of the part of the campaign, you know, just a beautiful, one of those beautiful emails that, again, Bob Ashwini and Sri Devi put together. So that's coming out, and it's going to have a link to that, and then I think we're also going to put it on the website, you know, with all the things related to the walk. So certainly by the end of the show, I'm sure we'll be able to speak to it more directly.
So that, good, thank you for that. And again, before you leave that, I got inspired about something that may go nowhere, but it inspired me when you two were talking. And that was when Christina was talking about family and friends and, you know, the connection and how rarely she invites anyone into something like this that she really cares about. And then you said, you mentioned that the way to stay really connected with people is to have a shared interest. And, of course, you know, with family and close friends, that is our shared interest. But I know for me, there are people that I really do care deeply about, and I almost never get to see or talk to because there's just no time. And I had this little fantasy when you were talking about all the people we know who have things that they are as passionate about as we are about Cantalomba. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to find, like for me, 11 other people who have a project that they're passionate about, and each month of the year, we would focus together on that person's project.
That is too fun. Wow.
Wouldn't that be fun?
So fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fabulous idea. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Because then when you're inviting someone into that, it's like a triple invitation, right? You're inviting them to participate with you and what you love. You're inviting them to get to share with you what they love and inviting them, no doubt, into a year-long inspiration party.
Yeah. And you're together.
And you're together.
Because the project is a shared interest. Anyway, I'm gonna see about it for myself because I want to spend more time with those people, and this seems like a perfect way to do it. And I know each one of them that I thought about, I know exactly what they're passionate about. In fact, one of the closest couples they're the ones who invite me every year to participate with CASA. And and that's the thing that I do in this country that is the equivalent of what I do with Cantalomba overseas. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so very good. That's so perfect. And, you know, just in this time of, you know, that's a bit difficult, that it potentially builds stronger community, right? Because some of those people that you invite very likely right now don't know each other and don't know about each other's interests and those sorts of things. So really bringing that together. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Beautiful.
Very fun. Yeah. Thank you, Jen. What's going
on? Well, we do have some announcements. I confess that we had a bit of a technology challenge right at the 11th hour. So it may, oh no, they're right here. Isn't God good? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. We are blessed.
Life is amazing. Okay, here we go. So Sherry, you will be conducting a workshop on recording and listening at Stanford in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's on November 7th. The event is free and is part of the Campus Contemplation by Design Summit.
Yes.
And you'll be,
I had a little moment of confusion about it because I thought I was going to be there at one time based on what I was told. And then come to find out that piece of information was incorrect, but apparently the time and all of that is correct everywhere else. But it's kind of during the end of work, early dinner hour. So I hope it fits for people. I think it's 5:45, something like that.
Okay, great. And it sounds like you'll be talking about using the great tool to focus on attention to live authentically. And there's registration information that can be found on our website on the schedule page, livingcompassion.org.
Good.
So Politics from Center, a group coaching opportunity, will offer support in mindfully engaging in political activity in a way that challenges you to transcend fear and express deep caring in the world. So the four-week coaching session includes facilitated conference calls and email check-ins, and it starts November 29th.
Couldn't be more timely.
Oh, no kidding. Yep. And then as we were just talking about, the Celebrate Courage, Generosity, and Family as part of the Africa Project to sign up for one of our fabulous fundraising teams this year. And you'll want to mark your calendars to join the 2018 Bridge Walk, which is in Cantalomba, and it will be live streamed on December 1st. So more details to follow on that. There we will be. That's incredible. Yep. Exciting. And finally, coming up in December, Sangha will have an opportunity to celebrate this year and welcome a new one with a community of people dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness. So the New Year's Retreat, which is December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, features meditation, group discussions, guidance with you, and free time to spend in nature on beautiful, spacious grounds.
Yes,
and
we really should... Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, we really should write the trees into that description, huh?
Yeah, we should. Yeah, some of the most phenomenal, for everybody who's been at the monastery and been in the pavilion and seen the oak tree, if you want to see a bunch of its cousins, come to that retreat. Tons of its cousins. I can't say what this retreat, what the theme is, but I know what it is. And I am so excited about it. It's a fabulous retreat, and the subject matter, I think, is just going to blow things wide open in the best of all possible ways. Yep.
Right, exactly. Yep.
Is it one of those where,
oh, surely we've covered everything, and there's nothing, quote, better we can do. And then,
yep. Yep. It's exactly one of those. Yep.
Can't wait.
Yep. Exciting. I know. And it is right around the corner, so we don't have to wait long.
No, it truly is. Yeah. It's right here. Yep. And it does tend to fill up, so people probably want to start, you know, getting that submit button if you're ready to sign up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Well, we do have a lot of lovely callers here, so are we ready for our first caller?
Let's talk to these lovely people.
All right.
That's a wrong preposition. Let's talk with these lovely people. We've all been talked at plenty. We'll talk together.
And I think our first caller is now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, it's Rebecca from the monastery.
Well, Rebecca, welcome.
Hi. Thank you. It's been a long time since I've talked on open air like this. That's been really fun.
Good.
So I was inspired to ask you about something to talk about something that you mentioned on the morning radio show, and you said if people would like to talk more about it to call into open air. And the question was brought up about the shooting that happened. I think it was in Pittsburgh. And the caller was asking, where do we go with this? And what you had said was sobbing. Sobbing seems the appropriate place to go with this. And you know that there's just that place where there's such a wanting to keep the heart open and recognizing the tremendous grief and pain from things that we do to each other and the planet and everything like that, that sobbing just seems that's just where you go. And And I was really moved by that, I guess one thing is I just want to see if there's more you want to say about that too,
Rebecca.
Good. Please.
You silly child. Of course. Well, let's start there, and then we'll get back to. It sounds like there's a next part to this. When you were just saying that, it reminded me of an old Zen story where the teacher's favorite student dies. But the fact that the teacher had an obvious favorite student would be another discussion, right? But at any rate, that's what happened. And so the funeral is going on, and there's a casket, which is also unusual, but these old Zen stories are mysterious. And as the ceremony, the service is going on, the teacher begins to cry, and then to cry louder, and then to sob, and to wail. And people, the monks are kind of, the students are looking at each other like, whoa, what is going on here? And finally the teacher makes his way down to where the casket is, and he's leaning on the casket and he's just pounding on it and he's just wailing. And finally one of the folks goes up and says, teacher, probably was Roshi or Sensei or something like that. This doesn't look good. And the teacher said, if I can't cry at the funeral of my favorite student, when can I cry? So that's one piece of it. And the other piece of it is what I've been, so we're in an email class, and I found myself responding increasingly. So, there's the first group of people who write in, and there's sort of what the gist is, and then it goes on, and then by the time we're getting to the final submissions in the class, it's sort of clarifying. And what I got to today is that with so much of dying and with death, I project. What people are afraid of is to feel their own pain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which took me to a commonplace, which is we are sentient beings who have been brainwashed into being afraid of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to one participant today was, is it possible to depress the emotions that we are trained are wrong, that we shouldn't have, or that we're afraid to have? We depress or repress or suppress those and still hope to have the acceptable ones, the ones we want to have. So I don't want to feel pain. I don't want to feel sadness. I don't want to feel grief, but I want to feel joy. And I just wonder if we stop and look at it, if it's our experience that that's possible.
Yeah.
So that's the second piece of it. And so looking at something like what just happened in the world, and again, it's just such a horrific reminder that this kind of thing is happening all the time around the world. On that same day, two African-American people were gunned down in a store. And then just hours later, this horrific incident just renders people incapable of even taking note of that. So, yeah, and so if we're going to keep our hearts open in the face of so much of this, I just think it behooves us to let the emotion be what the emotion is and let it be there, have it, let it pass through, and let it leave in its wake a still, open heart.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, that is the that's the process, isn't it? And you know, the storm of whatever emotion it might be there, and the still, open heart, that place afterwards, after the storm. But if you don't, you know, it does seem to be necessary, because the stuffing of it, or, you know, does, well, let's see.
Well, there are two places with that, right? So we try not to feel it. So we get the people who say, you know, I don't want to know what's going on in the world. I just don't want to know. It's just too well, you know, okay, that's fine. But, you know, me not knowing about it didn't save anybody. It doesn't mean it's not happening to people just because I don't know about it.
Right.
And if I'm so concerned about how I feel that I want to close my eyes, my mind, my heart to what others are going through, that's a choice that we have, certainly. It's not one I want to make. And in addition to that, the danger there is that closed heart, first of all, it can't be closed to out there without it being closed to in here, right? The first place it's going to close is to me, and then from there to everything else, and the danger that closedness is going to be taken over by egocentric karmic conditioning, and that what's going to happen to me is I'm going to become one of those people who first close and then choose coldness and distance and hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where that closeness comes from. I'm afraid of what I feel. I'm afraid of what's happening. I don't want to be involved in it. I want to be separate. I want to be isolated. I need to protect myself from what's out there. It's a dangerous world. I don't like people. I don't trust people. It's a short trip to hatred.
Yeah. And it is a short trip, and it's an inevitable trip.
It seems that way to me.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, hatred
what
for
we've done, Well, because what we've done is turn our lives over to that system, that mm-hmm. that voice that's talking to us in our heads about how awful things are and what's wrong and what's wrong with whom and what should be done. And when we turn our lives over to that voice to, in quotes, protect us, we've just made a bargain with the devil.
Yeah. Boy, there's just so much in to look at in all this, both on a personal process level and on a communal process level, on a national process level, you know, but
Well, with our hearts open, we have a chance to participate.
Yeah.
Right?
So, you know,
so how can I contribute to this, what the energy that I want to contribute? In other words, how can I help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not being afraid of our own pain. That was a key thing that you said a minute ago. You know, not being afraid of our own pain, that somehow it's going to overtake me. I'm going to be left in this deep pit that I can't get out of, and then I'm going to be no good to anybody. And so I got to manage it. And what we don't
right.
see in that managing process is I'm already in that pit. By the time
That's
I've
right.
decided to manage it, I'm already in it.
That's exactly right. Because if the emotion is allowed to be what it is, it will pass through. If it's managed by ego, it's going to last a lifetime and probably beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other fascinating point, something that just keeps dropping in, when you said, can we repress one emotion and still have the joy? You know, what's coming to mind is, you know, when I went to Zambia, to Cantalumba some years ago,
mm-hmm.
For some reason, we needed to go to Josephine's house. And I was just so moved by the way, when we got away from the Living Compassion compound, we were walking in the neighborhood and we really saw how people live.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I wanted to sob. You know, I just wanted to sob, and I can just go right there just now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there does seem to be something inextricably linked to the joy that when I, you know, that I feel around that whole project, that we all, you know, we all, I think, can go to an experience of having been moved, and then we triumph over that. You know, we've now they have water, and now they have, you know, but it is the question of can we experience the joy without first experiencing the sorrow? I don't know if that's what you were pointing to, but that's where I went.
Well, and the how those two go together. Because there was a time when, regardless of circumstances, and you see it in anywhere where children are gathered together, okay, where they are allowed to just be children, whether it's in, you know, playing in the dust in the streets in Cantalumba, or anywhere in this country or anywhere, right? They are happy. They're laughing. They're mm-hmm. now somebody hits them or takes their joy away and they scream and cry and carry on. But the happiness of just being is obvious. And then we lose that.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes it moves from just being alive with whatever is going on. You know, when you're having fun, you're just laughing like crazy. When something doesn't go your way, you're sobbing and wailing, and it's none of it is a problem. And then everything becomes conditional.
Yeah. Yeah.
So In the world of the conditional, it's conditional. So we can only be happy under certain circumstances. Right? We can only be so upset. We can only feel X in an appropriate X place and Y in an appropriate Y place. And we're monitored, watched, to make sure all of it is the way it should be.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the only one who has that experience, but I doubt
it. Oh, no. No, yep. There's at least two of us. and you know, yeah. it really, just to just make that point back to your story, to the story, I don't want to be the type of person who can hear about people getting gunned down and not feel horror or grief. I don't choose that. I don't want to be a person who can see something, you know, a relationship that I care about struggle and not feel upset or feel, you know, I don't want to be that automaton, you know, type being. I want to be the sentient being that we are. And so to see the process by which that gets taken away from me as all, you know, that you're just describing is key.
Well, Rebecca, it is. And you just said something else that is very, very important. And that is that we want to be present enough to discern whether this is a legitimate response to life in the moment, or this is a conditioned reaction that ego is manipulating.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a story attached? Is there a conversation in the head about what this is and what this means? Because ego is happy to manipulate us for its benefit.
Yeah.
And what we're really,
for the juice.
And what I'm attempting to point at here is the direct experience of life to life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's big.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, much to look at, and thank you for the conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
me too. Thank you, Rebecca.
Okay, take care.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. Wow, that was really powerful, Sherry. I don't have anything to add. I feel like the practice principle right there is one process does not lead to another.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, if we want love, we got to be practicing like crazy.
Yeah, what we practice is what we have. That kind of covers it, doesn't it?
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, Sherry, we are going to take a quick break to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen awareness coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, I'm going to take our next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from San Carlos.
Hello, Anna.
Hi. Wow. I can't believe I got on. How exciting. I really appreciated that last conversation. And I've been looking at something kind of related, and I just thought it would be helpful just to process it. Mm-hmm. So So my son, he goes to a little preschool, and we're mm-hmm. Jewish, and it's at my synagogue. And I got this email, and it was telling me how they were going to be doing lockdown drills with my three-year-old, where they were going to be hibernating, you know. So the kids were just, you know, taught about hibernating, and then they were going to be, like, in a dark room for just a minute, and then someone was going to say, wake up, and they were going to wake up. And, Wow. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to participate in that right now. And, you know, and I got, like, a reaction from them or whatever, and in the end, you know, we're not going to participate in it. And I was just looking at, like, why I did not want to participate in that. And I think for me it was it felt like, you know, yeah, maybe it's a smart thing to do or something like that, but it didn't seem like the energy that I wanted to be around my son. Like, you know, that there's going to be this person who comes in and we need to hide. And even if that might happen, I mean, the chances of that happen are still extremely slim. You know, I don't want to, like, it really felt like it was like, I don't want to just, like, live from that place, and I don't want to, it seems related. I was having a conversation actually with my husband about how he now understands why people have guns and buy guns. And it felt like participating in that would be like me going out and getting a gun right now. You know, it would feel like it would be like coming from a place of, like, fear and acting out of that place for fear for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I didn't want to participate in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and it's a big part of the conversation, isn't it? The way kids can be safe at school is to give guns to the teachers and have more armed guards. And if you want to be safe at church or in the synagogue or at the mosque or wherever you are, then you want to hire security guards with more guns than the people who might be coming in after you. The picture of it, of course, is the expression of slippery slope and how true, what a true image that is, that when it starts, it's like an avalanche. When it starts going downhill in that way, it is going to go downhill and it's going to pick up speed. The idea, of course, that if we're all armed, we're going to be safer.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. And that I would actually shoot someone, like take someone's life, like that would be something that I would want to do, you know.
Yes. No. Well, and of course the idea behind that is it's not something you would want to do, but it's something that you would do under certain circumstances. And, of course, then we read the statistics of children who are killed every year by guns that are in the house. And, it's a hard place, isn't it?
It is such a hard place. And, you know, the thing that I've been looking at around this is just, like, that it is helpful in a way for, like, empathy, you know, to, like, know where people are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that there's a lot of support to go there. Yeah, there's a lot of support to go there, like to do crazy stuff. Yeah, things that whenever I'm sitting like safely in my own house and, you know, in a very like safe area, like it doesn't make any sense to consider doing those things, you know. But when suddenly it doesn't seem as safe as it used to be, then the mind points in those directions, and there's a lot of support for thinking that that's a really smart thing to do. And threatens me with, like, the potential death of my child for not participating in these things and not doing these things. And it really brings me to a place of empathy. And, I don't know, it reminds me of the precept of restraint and religious observances to just bring me back to, like, not going to go there. I'm just not mm-hmm. going to. And I don't
well,
care.
Well, and you know, Anna, with the class that we're doing now on dying and death,
exactly.
The hardest part of this, the very hardest part of what we're up against as human beings, is the possibility that what we consider the worst could happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it could happen. And to me, what is possible for us, in fact, in the, Christina just mentioned it too, the Going Beyond Fear, Resistance, and Limitations retreat, I mentioned this frequently, and I think probably other people are joining us now on their own anyway. We're working with Epictetus. And the encouragement that he talks about, to start letting go. Start proving to yourself that you can be okay no matter what, number one.
Yeah.
And that you are okay no matter what because you have an understanding about life and how life works that gives you peace.
Yeah.
And it's essential, right? It's critical for us because we don't know. Because anything can happen in any moment. But to me, the thing that you're pointing at that is so important is that if we allow that force of fear turn us into somebody that we don't admire or respect or have trust in, then we've already lost much, much more than losing life could take from us.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's so the same thing of just, it's not about what ego's talking about. You know, it's about the process that I'm living.
Yes.
Yeah, the process that I'm choosing.
Yes.
Yeah, regardless of the circumstance. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that what you want to do is raise your children in that environment. So instead of people who are terrified of losing something, okay, because it's different for different people, but to live in terror of losing something, to question, am I really living? Is to live a life of terror? Is that is that worth it? Am I really holding on to something that's worth having?
Yeah. Yeah, I've already lost. Yeah.
I've already lost. Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sherry. This is really helpful.
Well, thank you. It's
we
can't lose sight of how big it is.
Yeah, it's so big, and I'm so glad that there's a place to bring it, you know, that's helpful, you know.
Yeah, that at least we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Right? We can get it out in the open and look at it. And yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Anna.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. Wow. Again, I'm taking Sherry back to when you and Ashwini first started offering, before it was Project Joy, I can't think, almost right there. But at any rate, when you first started the morning radio shows back in the fall of, I guess it was 2016, and just that place of, you know, Anna just saying, thank goodness there's a place we can come and have these sorts of conversations. Incredible.
Yeah, because this is, talk about we're going to put you in the dark for a while, and then if it's ego in charge of that, nobody comes in and turns the lights on and says, wake up, right? It's just we're put in a dark place, and that system of fear does everything it can to keep us there.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And it's so perfect. Thank you to Ashwini, who just texted through seeing through the eyes of love. And that's it. That's exactly what you've been talking about all evening. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary. All right. Well, let's take our next caller. All right. Hang on one sec. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Beth in Pittsburgh.
Hello, Beth.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Big time in your city, huh?
Yeah. So I'm not talking from an intellectual place. This isn't like, you know, these stories have been going on in the news for a long time. But, you know, these are my clients. These are my friends. And I did want to just say that I'm real tired at the moment, but in the litany of the victims, we are including the two people who were shot at the store the same day. They're being remembered.
Good.
And, you know, the stories of the victims and, you know, just the amount of kindness that came out of these people. Today I participated in a peace walk. That was just like 5 miles of people singing a Jewish prayer. And, you know, it's like, for me personally, I wish I could sob. I wish it would come out cleanly. But it comes out in dreams. And there's a real gift in it not being intellectual. And I'm touched by it, but I'm on the sidelines.
Yes. Yes. In a way, Beth, we're on the sidelines to the degree that we experience ourselves as separate.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really important thing for us to look at. Because then, I have this little pet theory that I'll run past you, okay? And that is that there are people in this world that some people would call evil or bad or whatever.
Unskillful.
It is. Perhaps.
Deeply pained.
No, I'm not going there. No, not going there at all. No, I'm not. In fact, quite the opposite.
People who seem to feel nothing.
Well, people who seem to feel nothing. Who can watch unspeakable things happen and be completely removed, have no relationship with it whatsoever. Not feel anything.
I have seen that too.
Yes.
Life goes on.
And yes. And so I speculate that what those people are is not bad or evil or anything else. They don't have yet activated the empathy chip. And what happens very often with folks like that is that they don't experience anything until it happens to them. And when it happens to them, then it becomes real. Then they relate to other people who have also that experience. And very often that's as far as it goes, just other people who have their exact experience. And so...
Yes.
Yeah, if we keep ourselves separate, if everything is compartmentalized, if only what happens to me affects me, and what happens to you has nothing to do with me, is just irrelevant to me, then I need to have whatever experience I have that's going to help me be sensitive to you.
Yes. Kind of like because of what happened here in Pittsburgh, we were able to bring in how this happened to, I mean, it's like there was a litany of all the shootings and the names of the victims were read.
Yes. 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 And this is in our one little country.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't all the people to whom this is happening around the world. Right now.
This isn't a news story.
Yes. Yeah.
It is a news story, but it isn't a news story. Like, I've read stories like this and just, you know, oh, what a shame. But, you know, this is
real. Yeah.
My Thursday client, you know, she's an elder at the synagogue, and I'm going on Thursday to clean in the house at Sitting Shiva.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is close.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But then there's the experience and the experiencer.
Yes.
Because this was a couple of days ago, and already, and the story keeps getting built, and there's this whole ego around being a survivor.
Yes, yes, and we can watch that process happen, right?
Yeah,
we can watch that process happen. We can see how it happens, and we can practice to the best of our ability, such that that doesn't happen. That
and
what
stillness
is
such
what
a
is,
blessing.
Yes.
Slow.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And to stay connected, to stay involved.
Yes. That was what was so beautiful about today. This walk was just, you know, I was walking with strangers who were my friends. And it was such an eclectic, I mean, it was everybody, I mean, a huge variety of people coming together in confusion.
Yeah. Disbelief.
Yeah, and, like, not in our city.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Not in our country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's an alert for all of us, isn't it?
This one seems to be special. This one seems to hit close to home for, I mean, listening to the conversations here, it's like you guys aren't in Pittsburgh. But it's
still
affecting. This one's deep.
Of course. Of course. I don't have, I didn't have children in Parkland School. I didn't have grandchildren at Sandy Hook. I didn't have, I don't have relatives or friends in Syria.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and as you said, it's like, I mean, it's like this one guy went out and, you know, against the elderly is kind of a sticking point, you know, just people who could not defend themselves. And the response has just been, you know, 100,000 people standing up for peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of saying, you know, that's not what we want.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's see, as creatures, we seem to learn slowly. And it seems to take an awful lot.
I am so ready for a different lesson. It's still this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, we still have that choice, right? As you say, people all over this country, all over the world, standing up for peace, saying, this is not what we want. This is not who we are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the victim's families kind of, you know, asking if this guy's okay. Kind of like sending food and messages to him. And kind of, it's just really beautiful to see what's happening.
And yes, and which is such an important part of it, isn't it? Because anybody who is paying attention at all knows that man is a troubled soul.
Yes.
This is not the act of a happy, fulfilled person. And so Yes. Yes. We don't need to close our hearts to anybody. But it's challenging. It's difficult. And we're seeing some marvelous modeling of that, keeping the heart open, choosing
love. It's exhausting.
Mm.
Yeah. Humbling. It's very humbling.
Humbling. I'll go with humbling. I'm not going to go with exhausting. Yeah. No. I think the love is what gives us the strength and the hope.
Yeah, it's the confusion that's exhausting.
Yes. It's a conditioned mind getting in there and trying to make something of this. That's what's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, our hearts are with you.
Yes, and thank you for your willingness to go that deep.
Mm. Mm. Thank you. Take good care of you, okay?
Little bit by little.
Okay. Good night, Beth.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. Wow. It's an extraordinary conversation, Sherry, and I'm, again, just, I'm moved by the fact that the practice exists and that someone, well, lots of someone's, but in the form of this practice, that people have carried it forward such that, you know, it reminds me of the thing we always say, if you practice all the time so that when something happens, practice is what's there, practice is what you go to, practice is mm-hmm. what holds it. You don't just mm-hmm. arrive there expecting it to be available mm-hmm. to us when the hard stuff hits. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And what Beth was bringing to us in that, I think, is the awareness of how many people have that kind of practice.
Yes.
Right? Of all different mm-hmm. kinds of faiths, all different
exactly.
kinds of life circumstances, but are choosing love.
And
day
that
by
the, huge, the potential is that it shows us all of our similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It highlights that. It, as she was saying, it brings us together in that way.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think
do we have time for somebody else?
I think we do. For one more caller.
Yeah. All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Jen, it's Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi. Well, I wanted to talk about something that I noticed, but I'm just not clear if tonight's the right night to talk about it after the conversations that we've been having tonight, which have been really helpful, just in the sense of, recalling my attention to opening my heart and having that practice start here and to be able to do that we don't need a reason to do that. We do that as our practice.
Yes. Yes. And as Jen was just indicating, we do that as our practice. And then when life circumstances show up where it's really helpful that that's our practice, we can be that much more grateful. Right? Whether it's the kind of thing that has been going on in Pittsburgh or it's a personal loss, it's a health issue, it's a devastating disappointment, it's a whatever it is, that our practice of being as centered as we can, as present as we can, and choosing the unconditional, we're that much more grateful that that's what we choose in our lives when the stakes get so high.
Right, right. And what I noticed kind of looking at the email class content and things that are happening around me, I noticed that I could easily fall for projection about how someone who's ill or someone who's dying might feel and then get into a conditioned response. And it's so much more kind for me and for that other person to be with my own experience, what you started talking to Rebecca about, because I have no idea what's going on with that other person. And I can only open my heart to my own experience and not get caught up in a, well, I'm going to project on them and then I'm going to do the right person thing or say the right person thing. It doesn't work very well that way.
It really doesn't, does it? Because for that reason, you know, I think one of the most awful things that we can, or one of the most unfortunate, let's just say that, things that we could say to somebody is, oh, I know exactly how you feel. No, actually you don't. And it doesn't matter if we've had the what seems to be the exact same experience. We still don't know how somebody else feels. I think, at least for myself, I can be challenged to know how I feel.
Yes, right. So it really, it's so helpful to talk about it and to just be reminded to, you know, look to our own, ourselves for compassion and kindness and offer that to ourselves and then have the opportunity, however we have it, to take it out in the world, little or big, ways to just keep that as our goal, if you will, that that's how we want to be, that we want to be that way for the world, for ourselves and for the world.
Yes. And I think when you say that about the practices that we do of reflecting and drawing out and clarifying, that the whole, all the facilitator skills that people learn in this practice and combining those, right, with what you say, that there you are taking the best care, being as present to yourself as you can, and then going out into the world from that perspective, there's a chance of actually being able to be present with somebody else in a way that is supportive, caring, or helpful to them.
Right, because we know then what's supporting, caring, and helpful for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is presence, huh?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. And thank you for your gift of presence, and you, Jen, and all the practice and Sangha.
Well, thank you, Greta, and don't be a stranger. Call back again, okay, and we'll talk about whatever the other subject was.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece of conditioning I'll be happy to reveal.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Right.
Good night.
Thanks, Greta. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Greta. And that brings us to the end of a very powerful hour. So much gratitude, Sherry, to you, to everyone, to practice, to all of it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to you, Jen, and best good wishes to Michael for a speedy recovery so that he can be back with us. So, and thank you for filling in.
What, absolutely, my pleasure. And one quick note, Ashwani did get back to us that the email with that link to walking through how to create your own fundraiser on the 2018 Bridgewalk campaign is coming out tomorrow.
Oh.
It will have a link to that. And then we'll probably get it up on the Follow Your Lead page on the Living Compassion site as well.
Beautiful. We can look for that. All
right.
Well, thank you again, Jen.
Thank you, Sherry.
Much appreciated. Okay. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.